Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for all the provisions in our lives, many of which we don't acknowledge. I want to pray that you would continue to guide us today as we recognize all that you have done and continue to do in and through our lives. We are a blessed people, and I'm humbled by your goodness. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Just push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, in your bulletin, I forgot to change the scripture references. Those are last week's. So we'll be parking in Matthew 6 and Philippians 4 this morning. Not whenever it is in like Ecclesiastes or something. And then John, yeah. So apologize for that screw up. All right. So I'm going to talk about provision today, the blessing of provision. It's a long one, I'm not going to lie, but I already told Amanda I'm probably going to skip a lot of stuff as long as we can get the point across and get everything that we need to get out that the Lord has placed on my heart. But, you know, if we all were in an Olympic sport, I think it could be worrying, right? If that was an Olympic sport for just us as people in general, that sport might be worrying, right? We worry about, you know, maybe finances or, you know, how we're going to pay the mortgage or the rent or, you know, how we're going to be able to pay the bills or, you know, the water bill, the heating bill, whatever it is. There's a lot of worry and, you know, it was very evident, you know, over the past, whatever it was, 45 days or whatever, that there was a lot of people that were worried about what, you know, how they were going to be able to pay, how they were going to, you know, put groceries on their table, things like that. You know, but the cool thing is we have a God that provides. He provides everything that we need. Need, that's the key word, need. Not everything that we want, but everything that we need. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, like I said, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to dive right in because, again, this, I'm not going to lie, this is a long one, and I'm going to try to shorten it up as best as I can. So let's just start with Matthew 6:33. It says, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. And then Paul echoes the exact same thing, Philippians 4, verse 19. It says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, notice Paul's personal tone here. He says, my God, and what's the scope? All of your needs, and what's the supply line? According to his riches and glory in Christ. So God's provision is not limited by your paycheck, by your zip code, or today's headlines. He is the shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures. Just as Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. Right? If we have the Lord as our shepherd, if we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then we have all that we need. We have everything. So today we're going to talk about the blessing of provision. And this isn't some sort of, you know, vague optimism. It's not some, you know, bogus prosperity gospel gimmick. No, we're not going to be talking about stuff like that. This is settled confidence in the character of God. Settled confidence in the character of God. And, you know, Jesus invites us to trust, or, you know, to swap anxiety with trust, to swap all these different things for things that he can provide to us. You know, scarcity for seeking, for fear, for faith, all of the things when we have all we need, right? When we have the shepherd leading us, we have what we need. So Matthew 6 comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is discussing his the life under his kingship, and he's not speaking to just people kind of chilling out on a beach somewhere, right? No, he's talking to, you know, workers, mothers, fathers, farmers, tradesmen, fishermen, all these different types of people, and all of them are concerned how they're going to get by, how they're going to, you know, get to tomorrow when everything looks so tight in their life. And his command, Jesus' command of do not worry is repeated three different times in verses 25, 31, and 35 or 34 of Matthew 6. Now, you always heard me say it before, if there's some repetition in the Bible, then we got to pay attention to it, right? So just in those three verses of Matthew 6, you know, relatively close together, so we're talking about a span of only nine verses, he says, do not worry three different times. That's something that we need to pay attention to, right? So do not worry. Jesus does not deny our needs. He dignifies them. And then he reorders our gaze. What does that mean? Matthew 6, 26. He asks us to look up. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And then what happens? And he tells us to look down, starting in verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. Don't they labor or spin thread? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. So he's not promoting laziness, he's promoting trust. He's promoting trust. Birds work, they don't worry. Flowers exist because of the sunlight of the Father's care. And then Jesus ties it all together with the identity question. If God feeds them, will he not much more clothe us, clothe you? And then again, he recalibrates our pursuits, and starting in verse 32 of Matthew 6. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. So seekers become finders only when we seek the right thing in the right order. The right thing in the right order. So, you know, when we seek things, are we seeking them? Are we seeking the right things? And if so, are we seeking them in the right order? Right? Because we all, let's be complete. We're all family here. Let's be honest. We've all sought something other than what Jesus has maybe called us to seek, right? Whatever it is, maybe we were seeking, it doesn't matter. We were seeking something that we were placing above Jesus, right? And he's saying, seekers become finders only when we seek the right thing in the right order. He doesn't say seek only, he just says seek first. And that one word is the key that opens the door to peace. And then we look at the horizon in Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, because each day has trouble of its own. Amen. Right? Why do we always think about, oh man, all this stuff's going to happen, and I'm just not going to be able to deal with it, and we instead lose focus of what's right in front of us, what God has placed in front of us, because we're too, what? Worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. But what happens when we have the shepherd? We have all that we need, so let's not worry about that. Only God lives in all days at once. We are called to daily bread, to daily trust, and to daily obedience. Right, not tomorrow's bread and tomorrow's trust and tomorrow's obedience. We're called to today's trust, today's bread, and today's obedience. And very quickly, hopefully, we're going to talk about four truths in Matthew 6. The first is Jesus' teaching is not an economic principle, but a relational one. So again in verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and what your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And the provision begins with God. Take a look at James 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So he is generous in nature, and he's consistent in his character, right? We take a look at Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when Jesus calls God our Father, he's not using a metaphor that worked in the first century that expires in the 21st century. No, he's using a permanent reality that he is our Father. Provision is also a family business. If God gave us his Son, will he not with him graciously give us all the things that we need? Right? Everything that we need. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. This is Paul's promise. It's rooted in the same Father's heart. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You notice he doesn't say all of your greeds, right? He says all your needs. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. I have a ton of scripture, so hopefully you're okay with that because that's what God said. But Proverbs chapter 30 offers a wise prayer. It says, keep falsehoods and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and still profaning the name of my God. So give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. In other words, just give me what I need. Just give me what I need. And he answers that kind of prayer. We're just asking the right thing in the right order. Just what we need. The second truth is provision flows along the path of priority. The promise of all these things in Matthew 6:33, it hangs on the command to seek first the kingdom of God. So we have to seek his kingdom first. And priority is the path along which provision walks. This is not a deal we make with God. It is the order of creation. When God comes first, everything else falls into place. When God comes first, everything else falls into place. And I know maybe when we're going through some challenging times or something like that, and we're really trying, you know, put God first, and then maybe we might slip up and, you know, think of maybe start worrying about what's happening tomorrow or whatever, and therefore not putting God first. I don't know about you, but I can speak for myself. When I do that, things just start kind of going in a tailspin, and they just go off the rails. Right, but I'm not saying keeping God first is always going to make life like super easy, because it's not. That I can promise you. But when we keep him first, it will make getting through it easier. Because why? Because we have the shepherd who will give us all that we need. Seeking first the kingdom means we submit our decisions, our calendars, our budgets, our ambitions, and cravings to the reign of Jesus. So seeking first means that we submit everything to Jesus. Everything to Jesus. It means when we ask first what pleases him, it means obedience matters more than the optics. Right, it's important to remember that we submit everything, big, small, in between, doesn't matter, submit everything to him. And Paul shows the same priority in Philippians 4:11. It says, I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. And then in verse 13, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So going back to verse 19, you don't have to put it on the screen, but and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So before that verse 19, verses 11 through 13 form the heart that can receive it wisely. Forms the heart that can receive it wisely. Contentment is the wallet that holds provision without tearing. Contentment, and we're going to remember the word contentment because we're going to talk about it again. Contentment is the wallet that holds provision without tearing. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. So start with the kingdom. Start with the kingdom first, and then guess what you get to do? You get to watch what the Father's going to do. You start with the kingdom, and then you just let God do what God's going to do, and it is going to be awesome. The third truth is provision often arrives through ordinary means. When God provides, he sometimes does it in miraculous ways, and sometimes he does it in other ways, right? And just kind of ordinary ways, right? When we, you know, maybe when somebody has a child, right? We'll bring a welcome home baby gift, or we'll provide them meals, or we'll do all kinds of different things to help ease the burden of being a new parent, right? In those little small ways. Right, and then maybe somebody has an illness, right? Let's say maybe they have cancer, they have some sort of other maybe terminal illness, and we are praying in earnest that God would heal them. And then we get word that there's no cancer found, or the illness is completely gone, and that is miraculous and amazing. And there's so many different ways God shows up, and it's awesome. Doesn't matter if it's just ordinary people like us, or if God is just doing extraordinary things as we go to him in prayer. Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. So skill applied over time, budgets that reflect wisdom and patience that resists quick fixes, communities that bear one another's burdens like we talked about last week, all of those things as we continue to build them up, man, it just becomes second nature to us. And all of these things are kind of a pipeline into the generosity that we find in our hearts, right? As we continue to do these things. Israel received manna daily. Not weekly. They received it daily. They had to gather it each morning and trust that the Father would send enough the next day. They didn't hoard it. They'd wait. They trusted because they received it daily. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, so that you might learn that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Provision teaches dependence, and it also trains diligence. Take a look at Proverbs 12:24. The diligent hand will rule, but laziness will lead to forced labor. So Proverbs 12:24 is really talking about steady effort and not taking any shortcuts. God's provision and our participation are not rivals, they are partners. God's provision and our participation aren't enemies. They are a partnership. There was a member of a small church who unexpectedly lost their job, and the congregation began buying groceries, gift cards, and even bringing over an occasional casserole that could feed their family. Weeks turned into months. The family kept applying for jobs, sending resumes, doing odd work while waiting for employment to open. And the pantry never overflowed, but it never emptied either. Eventually a job came. When they looked back, they could see the hand of the father in bags on a porch, a check in the mail, a neighbor's kindness, and the quiet courage to apply again and again and again after constant no's. That's what we're talking about. These small little things. And that's what we can and do, right? It's such a privilege to be part of that. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. So this promise isn't of luxurious living. It's a testimony of faithful provision. And the fourth truth is provision learns the language of contentment. Contentment is settled trust. And Paul wrote from prison in Philippians 4:11, I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. So what's the key word here? It's learned. Contentment is a class we take for the rest of our lives. It's a class that we take for the rest of our lives. And we will occasionally get pop quizzes, like an unexpected vehicle malfunction that requires, you know, a repair shop. Maybe an air conditioning unit at your house goes out. A furnace goes out in the middle of wintertime. All these things are the tests that we're talking about, the tests of our contentment. Hebrews 13:5 tells us why contentment is possible. It says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. I will never leave you or abandon you. That hopefully warms you up a little bit. You know, even in the midst of the junk that we might find ourselves in, knowing that he will not leave us and he will not abandon us, hopefully makes you feel some kind of way. Provision isn't about stuff, it's about presence. The provider is with us, right? He is present in our lives. He is with us. When he's near, our souls can breathe a little bit. Even when, you know, maybe the spreadsheet or the balance in the bank account might seem a little bit daunting or a little tight, we have the shepherd. Now, how does this promise work? It's needs, not greeds, and Christ at the center. Philippians 4:19 promises that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. That promise is as big as the riches of Christ. Now, God's promise that he will supply our needs does not mean that he will underwrite our idols. Does not mean that he will underwrite our idols. What does that mean? That means he's not just going to let us go willy-nilly and just try to do all kinds of things for stuff or whatever it is if it isn't what? First, seeking him in the right order, the right thing in the right order, right? He's not just going to, you know, write a blank check for, okay, do whatever you want. No, he's not going to do that. The promise does not mean, excuse me, it does not cancel generosity. The Philippian church shared in Paul's trouble. sending financial support more than one time. And they trusted God and they opened their hand. And they just continue to help. Now picture the hillside where Jesus preaches. Crowd is restless, right? The prices are rising. It's that Roman tax that they're talking about. Work is unstable. Children are hungry. And Jesus sees them all. Points to a bird weaving through a breeze. Your father feeds it, he nods toward a patch of wildflowers. Your father clothes them. And he says, your father knows you need these things. That heads lift, hearts tilt forward. And he gives a better pursuit. What? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that is not just a version from then, it's a version now. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's where it all starts, right? That's when even when we started this entire series, you know, the first week, it was what? The blessing of salvation, because everything upon which we are blessed with is built on that. It's built on our relationship with Jesus, so it makes sense, even when we're talking about provision, that everything is built on that relationship with him. God will supply all your needs. So how do we do this? How do we practice this? Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, what, give us this day our daily bread. Remember, daily bread, not bread for tomorrow or bread for, you know, a week or bread or whatever. No, bread today, our daily bread. Prayer that shapes our budgets and our expectations. Then we work with honesty and excellence. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, do it from the heart. As something done for the Lord and not for people. So God often puts provision on the other side of diligence. Often puts provision on the other side of diligence. That's in your notes. We practice contentment and generosity at the same time. Now the world doesn't think that those two can share a room, right? But no, we practice contentment and generosity in the same room. Contentment says Christ is enough. Generosity says others matter. And together they quiet greed and what? Open joy. We stay in community. That's another way that we do this practically, right? We stay in community. Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ, just like we talked about, I don't remember, last week or whenever it was. I think it was last week. Carry one another's burdens. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then we go to verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now some might hear this message and might be struggling. Like I might not be able to, you know, pay my bill, or I might not be able to pay my car note or whatever it is, right? And you like, this makes no sense to me. I don't understand how you can sit up there and talk about these provisions when I am just deeply struggling. You're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. The Father knows. The Father knows. The Son intercedes, and the Spirit helps us in our weakness. But are you allowing other people to come alongside you and help during that time? Because, right, you know, like, we can pray and we can ask God to give us wisdom and maybe give us, you know, some sort of, you know, maybe a word of knowledge or something to be able to know different things. But if you share with, you know, your fellow believers, with your family, the struggles that you might be going through, then I can promise you that we have an army of people here that are ready and willing to jump up into action and to help. One thing we have to remember is that God's provision is sometimes different than our expectations. God's provision is sometimes different from our expectations, right? It goes back to a message I preached a long time ago, right? When I said, sometimes when we pray, the answer is no, right? Maybe we're not praying for the right thing in the right order, right? Whatever it is, sometimes the answer is no. And kind of in the same way, God's provision is sometimes different than what we expect. And we just have to recognize that. There are seasons of waiting that feel like a North Dakota winter, right? There are some seasons that feel like that. But under the soil, the roots will still grow, right? So we have to persevere. We have to come alongside each other. We have to help each other out. He's preparing answers that will one day spring up in praise. Right? You've heard me say this before. It might not be on this side of eternity. Right? We might not know what these answers are until we see them face to face. We just kind of look at them like, well, what happened there, buddy? Right, then he'll give us the rundown. Jesus is our provision. Romans 8:32. He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? There's hidden treasures in him. Knowledge, wisdom, forgiveness. And this frees us to hold earthly provision with open hands. Matthew 6:19-20 says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves don't break and steal. Provision releases praise when Christ is the treasure. Where Christ is the treasure. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God. So, just like last week, give you just a small bit of homework. Choose one practice of trust that we went over today. Maybe begin each day with Matthew 6:33. Maybe pray the Lord's Prayer. Stress the word today when you ask for bread. Right? Today, give me today the bread that I need. Let me not worry about tomorrow. You know, Joe often says, you know, let go and let God, right? We have to give it to God. Let's not worry about what's going on tomorrow, right? Let's not worry about, you know, what's going on in 15 minutes. Let's worry about right now. Let's focus on what God has got us going on right now. Maybe share a meal with somebody. Maybe bring a grocery store gift card to somebody. Whatever it might look like to you, do something like that. I mean, you can even use the same homework that I gave you last week, right? Right, you know, pray for two people. Write a note of encouragement and give it to somebody. And then what was the last one? Carry somebody else's burden. Carry somebody else's burden. And let this peace that you'll feel as you're doing these, this contentment, even gratitude, all these different things, just let them just flow through you. Because it's contagious. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who's just so grateful to be able to, you know, just give or help. But when you're around people like that, you're like, man, I am just a terrible person. I want to be just like you. I want to be able to go out and just give and help and whatever it is. But even if it's just writing a note of encouragement to somebody, you know, there are stories out there that you can find where somebody received a note of encouragement and what happened. They chose not to end their life by suicide that day. Like, there are, a note of encouragement can literally save somebody's life. And then we can save their eternal life when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's what it's all about. That is what it is all about. God will give us what we need, not what we want. He'll give us what we need. And that you can take to the bank. Let's pray. Father, we praise you as our provider. You know our needs before we ask. Lord, forgive us for our anxious striving for building our hope on different things that truly can't hold us. Jesus, thank you for commanding our hearts away from worry and toward your kingdom. Thank you for your sacrifice, the greatest provision of all. Holy Spirit, teach us contentment. Train our eyes to see birds, to see them fed, to see flowers clothed, and to remember the Father's care. Provide us in ways that honor your name. Lord, open our hands to be generous. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.